Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, December 19th, 2023. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Texas company plans first solar farm in Whitman County. Idaho's new Luma financial tracking system improving. And Moscow annexes 8 acres at Fountains Industrial Park on U.S. Highway 95, owned by Joel Cohen. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. You're tuned to KRFP, Moscow Pullman, and live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho. I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Chief Deputy Idaho Controller Joshua Whitworth says as state employees are getting used to the new Luma business system, there have been fewer calls from employees who need help using the new system. The state launched the cloud-based Luma Enterprise Resource Planning System on July 1st, and all state agencies are making the switch to the system that standardizes budget, procurement, finance, human resources, and payroll systems across state government. Whitworth said finance and supply chain management requests are 40% of what they were during the first week of operation of the system. He said two-thirds of the requests are for explanations of how to do something. Whitworth told the Idaho Capital Sun it could be next summer before state employees have a high level of expertise with the new system. One problem that happened under the Luma system is the Health and Welfare Department duplicated payments of benefits for a month. However, Whitworth said the duplicate payments were due to a timing issue unrelated to the new Luma system. 10 Boise police officers and 3 Garden City police officers continue to work while being investigated by the Ada County Critical Incident Task Force. But police officials say this is normal and there are similar situations in police agencies nationwide. The Idaho Press found out about the officers still working through a public records request. Many of the investigations involve killings, including when Boise police killed an armed man in a shootout in the North End during the summer. Boise Police Chief Ron Winiger told the Idaho Press, "An officer has a job to do. He has performed his job and in the course of those duties has deployed deadly force, which is one of the things that we task our police officers with doing. Unless we have something that indicates the officer did something wrong, it wouldn't be prudent, it wouldn't be fair to take that officer and remove them from their profession." Winiger said the police department puts officers involved in a critical incident on leave for 40 hours, or about 1 work week. During that time, the officer is required to go to an appointment with a mental health professional and schedule a follow-up visit within 30 days. Winiger said the department only modifies officers' duties during an investigation if there's a reason to. Modifications could be desk duty. He said, for emotional reasons, it would not be wise to not let an officer return to work. He said, it is beneficial to give officers a short period of time to decompress. Whitman County Planner Alan Thompson said, county officials are working on an ordinance to permit a solar farm near Thornton. The 900-acre parcel would be the county's first solar farm and renewable energy plant. Texas energy supplier Vesper Energy leased a 560-acre parcel from a local landowner west of Thornton near Thornton Creek to launch the project, which is called Daystar Renewable Energy. According to the Daily News, Vesper Renewable Energy Community Affairs Manager Alan Rohr said, once up and running, the solar farm would produce 100 megawatts of power at any given time and would be incorporated into Avista Utilities power grid at the Thornton substation. Rohr said the farm would have an on-site lithium battery for energy storage. He said the farm would be able to produce energy even on cloudy days. Rohr said the solar panels would be bifacial, meaning the solar panels would be able to create energy from reflected sunlight from snow under the panels. Rohr said the company is considering further expansion, but the original 560 site will be developed first. He said the first phase of the project will provide 140 local construction jobs. Rohr said Vesper Energy chose Whitman County because of a need for diversified energy sources on Avista's power grid. He said, "We're looking for places where the grid could use more electricity and where a solar farm and energy storage site can help support grid resiliency." Rohr said the project is expected to stimulate about $14.9 million in economic activity in Whitman County over 40 years, and Vesper estimates the project would generate $1.05 million in taxes for the entirety of the life of the project. He said the tax revenues would help the county help keep the county from raising taxes on local landowners. Rohr said farmers would also benefit from the project through income diversification partnerships and leasing agreements. He said they expect to begin construction in 2025 and the project would be operational the following year. You're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and Rembrandt Tree Care, family owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
KRFP thanks all of its donors and underwriters for helping make this programming possible.
At last night's Moscow City Council meeting, the council voted to annex 8 acres at 2216 South Main Street, owned by Joel Cohen, and rezone the property as motor business. The land is located on the east side of U.S. Highway 95, partially behind the Dirty Goat Saloon, formerly the Plantation, and includes the most westerly buildings of Fountains Industrial Park, and also stretches to the south along to where the ITD is planning to build a new four-lane section of U.S. Highway 95. The owner of the land, Joel Cohen, is also the owner of Tapped Tap House and Kitchen in downtown Moscow and is currently developing land at the corner of East 3rd and Washington Streets that formerly was the location of Keeney Brothers Music Store building. City Planning Manager Mike Ray introduced the annexation proposal at the beginning of a public hearing last night.
Most of you will recognize this property as the westerly two buildings of Fountains Industrial Park. So that's the 7.98 acres highlighted in blue, center of your screen. Current city limits boundary is this green dashed line. So surrounding uses, you have easterly buildings of Fountains Industrial Park. There's a church to the north, a bar, a restaurant. The ice rink is to the northwest. And then various other residential and commercial uses, Dale's Boat Service located to the west of Highway 95, an automotive detailing business located to the southwest, and then primarily agricultural property to the south and the southeast with the South Fork of the Palouse River transecting the property in a northwesterly direction there.
The property is in the floodplain of the South Fork of the Palouse River. City Councilmember Gina Tarusio asked Ray to explain the reason for the annexation.
Why does it need to be annexed? Why is that?
Well, the applicant had requested annexation into the city. I believe and certainly you could ask the applicant that. I believe that there's additional development as well as the division of the property. And so typically when there's division of the property and they're this close to city limits and city services, we want those properties annexed into the city of Moscow and connected to city services.
When Mayor Art Bedke asked for a presentation by the applicant, Dave Dale came to the podium and said he was speaking for landowner Joel Cohen.
We had to annex it into the city was because the Fountains have owned it for a long, long time. And in order to split part of it off, it has to be annexed in. So the Fountains aren't selling all of it. They're still retaining a lot of those buildings in the purple on the right. But the two buildings on the left are the ones that Joel Cohen is buying. And in order to buy them and have an actual legal description that's enforceable, we'd have to annex into the city.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor, if that's okay. Is it the have to because of the rules that govern county lot divisions?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So hopefully it's good for tax revenue for the city. And really, I mean, your water treatment center is actually right on that blue line. Mm-hmm. So you're already right there. So it's going to be pretty cost effective for Joel to hopefully add city services shortly after this. And it looks like essentially the city of Moscow is just growing a little bit closer to Lewiston.
That was Dave Dale speaking for landowner Joel Cohen at last night's Moscow City Council hearing on annexing 8 acres of Cohen's land. And you also heard a question from Councilmember Haley Lewis during that clip. During the public hearing, local real estate broker Shelley Bennett said she was in favor of the annexation and elaborated on the floodplain and lot splitting issue.
The county has a divide property has a rule that you can't divide property if it's in the floodway. And this is in the floodway. And so that we had to come through this process. So now the city gets to annex it and put utilities there, and it's all for the good of the town, I believe.
City Councilmember Gina Taruccio made the motion to annex the 8 acres owned by Joel Cohen, and the council voted 6-0 in favor. At the manslaughter trial of Jaylene B. Powaki, attorneys brought up a pivotal question on the cause of death of Desmond J. L. Oatman, who was allegedly left in a North Lewiston alley by Powaki on March 18, 2022. According to the Lewiston Tribune, public defender Lawrence Moran said, quote, "Did Jaylene Powaki kill Desmond Oatman by dumping him in an alley?" During his opening statement, Moran repeated that question several times to highlight its importance in the trial. Moran told jurors manslaughter charges must be proven to jurors, not that someone died, but whether a person killed another person. Moran told jurors witness accounts will show Powaki did not kill Desmond Oatman. Witness Larry Boyd, the owner of the Lightning Horse Bar and Grill in northern Lewiston, told the court he saw a body face down in the alley behind the bar when he was getting supplies for his restaurant. Boyd said he then called 911. Idaho State Police Officer Travis Butcher testified he responded at about 6:50 p.m. to a report of an unconscious man in the alley behind the building. Butcher said the man's lips were blue and his extremities cold, but his stomach was warm when he rolled him over, and he gave first aid until medical responders arrived. Lewiston Fire Department paramedic Mark Swift told jurors of his efforts to revive Oatman, including 3 or 4 shots of Narcan, providing oxygen, using a defibrillator, and cardiopulmonary resuscitation unit. Swift said he continued resuscitation efforts despite the lack of a pulse, but there was, quote, pulseless electrical activity, meaning there was electrical activity in Oatman's heart. Swift said the outcome may have been different if it was an opioid overdose. Lewiston Police Department Detective Joe Storm said Oatman had several scrapes on his chest, left armpit, and lower back, which looked fresh. Witnesses also testified they saw Oatman's jacket pulled over his head. Police also found a clear container with several fentanyl pills in Oatman's jacket. Lawyers showed jurors photos of Oatman's body and the container of fentanyl pills. Clearwater River Casino Surveillance Director Kim Rubin provided video footage of the scene in the alley that property management company employee Thomas Risley provided. The video was shown over the objection of Moran. It showed Powaki going in and out of the casino at various times. The video shows Powaki getting out of a vehicle. A passenger is shown removing Oatman's body from the car and into the alley. The unidentified person got into the car and drove away after he stood over Oatman's body for a moment. In cross-examination, Moran noted to Rubin, the videos do not show Powaki and Oatman together, nor do they show Powaki killing Oatman, and Rubin agreed. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. It will be mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 35. Partly cloudy Wednesday through Thursday night with highs of 45 Wednesday and 42 Thursday, lows 31 Wednesday and Thursday night. 20% chance of rain afternoon on Friday, mostly sunny, high 41. 60% chance of precipitation Friday night. Rain and snow likely, becoming all snow after 2 a.m. Snow level 4,200 feet, lowering to 2,600 feet after midnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low 29. New snow accumulation, less than half an inch possible. And a 50% chance of snow on Saturday, partly sunny, high 34. Currently 45. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Also, look to see if you've received a KRFP fundraising letter, an end-of-the-year fundraising letter, which has been mailed out. If not, you can read it on the KRFP.org website. Also on the website, you can find a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can also adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button. And also on the website, you can stream KRFP and listen to archived editions of all KRFP shows in the last 2 weeks. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by Hotchins Drug and Hobby of 307 South Main Street in Moscow. Hotchins features a pharmacy, educational toys, and hobbies. Hotchins also sells and services hearing aids. You can call Hotchins at 208-882-5536.
Shortly before the beginning of this century, a small group had a vision of a great human service.
If you received an envelope from KRFP, open it.
These dreamers were pioneers. They envisioned a great institution.
It's the end of the year fundraising letter. KRFP is here bringing you local news, national programs, and dozens of types of entertainment.
Today, I want to show you this world-famous institution.
90 shows per week, friends and community members on the air.
I deem it a privilege to be able to serve
public service.
Public service.
Public service.
Public service.
Broadcasting.
Locally curated. No algorithms.
Look for the KRFP fundraising letter at krfp.org.